off schedule. We were off schedule, but now we're back on schedule.
It was just one peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the curb while I cried. Just one.
Do you ever put them on the on your dash so the
sun would toast it? Toasty? Oh, that's so power.
Oh, so good.
I was the only person that gained weight my first summer.
Oh, I did.
Comfort
Dude,
eating.
I lost 20 pounds.
I join you.
When I went to deliver books with Ella, she had the backseat of her car stuffed with like munchies. And I was like, well, this is no way to do the summer. She was like eating all day long. Amazing.
Well, you can now because the pre-approach is done on your iPad. So like you don't even have to do a pencil. You know what I'm saying? Like the real skill was driving a stick and doing pre-approach on a pad with pencil like that. You had to like really.
Fun story. I'm buying a new vehicle. I had to go test drive it a second time to make sure I could drive with my knee. That's still how I drive sometimes. And you got to not all doesn't work in all the vehicles.
Yeah,
it's a skill.
Tell me your true. Tell me you sold books. Tell me you don't sold books.
Without telling.
You drive with your knee, and as you're driving with your knee, you point to a house and go, "They have kids."
Yeah.
Hey, is this one of those recordings where we're going to have to restart in 5 minutes because we're just
the take it away?
This is called a power lead in.
That's right.
That's exactly right. It's very famous in podcasting. Also. It's sure to have people laughing if they're listening to this and they're book people. So it's just what a good way to start.
Lee did so much reflecting about the topic of reflecting that he's like raring to go. We got to get moving. We got to dive right in.
That's a good point. I'm not. I'm still reflecting. So it'll kick in a minute. I can't help myself. I'm just reflecting. In fact, I nicknamed myself, as you can see on the screen, after that YouTube album that didn't go anywhere, Reflector. So how about that for a musical connection?
Beautiful.
In your face, Bono.
That's right. Also, I named this episode, we're going to name this, When Will Our Reflection Show Who We Are Inside? Which is a Pocahontas reference, I think.
That sounds really stupid. I think we should go with more of a Friends type of title.
It was
the one about reflecting.
It was Sacagawea.
Little obscure, Andres.
Sacagawea? Pocahontas from Disney? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you guys, okay, we had different childhoods apparently. So we're going to just go ahead and move on.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't that she's like on a pond and that's when she sings her famous song, Reflections?
Yeah, that's
sure. Yeah, you know more about that movie than any person I know.
I grew up with Disney and Columbia. It was like the whole thing. That's all we had because Americans marketed
it. It was dubbed. So you got to give them a little grace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
John Smith mostly just brought disease and war. It's not like he was the good guy. I mean, I'm just
hot take.
Was that in the Southwestern books?
There's a song called Reflections from Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Because whenever I Google it. Google it.
Is
the first thing that pops up is Pocahontas, Arkansas's Reflection Hair Salon.
So maybe I'm thinking of the wrong movie.
Lee, to return to your question, yes, we are going to have to start again.
Power entrance and power exit. We'll just clip this later. All right, we're talking about reflections. Welcome to another Executive Exercises episode. You're seeing it on the channel of the Ponytails Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to 2024. And since we're going into a new year, something about reflections came up because we were looking back on our 2023, wanted to do some celebration, a little bit of praise and some cool recognition of some people who are doing awesome stuff here on the call, but at the same time, also talk about why reflections are important and any relevance to reflections and being successful or having a good life. So with that, we have Pat Roach. Yay! Lee McCroskey's here, Alicia Huck's in the house, and then Will Metcher. Sorry, we ran out of time for Quentin Roberts, so he will not be joining the call today. Maybe next time.
Womp womp.
We ran out of time for him.
Could have been a great podcast.
Not that he didn't show up. We ran out of time for him.
we ran out of time for his segment. Yeah. Well, he's usually at the end, and we're already 4 minutes in to this recording, so we're just going to have to clip his part out. Fit that power entrance that we had before. So over to Lee. We'll probably start with lead reflector Lee, just so, because you always get the pot sirin, I think, in my opinion.
Well,
so
go. No, I my thought is, from the last time this would be an important topic because it's such a weakness of mine. And I thought I could maybe learn from you guys. I'm getting better at reflecting, but I was just going to throw out to the group, why taking time to reflect at all is useful and important. Does anybody have anything just pop into your head that you want to share? Because that's kind of the opening thing, because we have to establish the reason for this podcast. So
I can go first.
Andres.
Okay. So back in Southwestern, when we all did that thing with the books, I had never heard of this concept of like looking back at your accomplishments in your life. And like my entire life was like, go, go, go. Usually we were running from something or just we were too busy to like look back because we're just trying to survive for a long time. So that's kind of how I grew up. And then after the first Sunday meeting, my first summer, one of the managers was like, okay, now you're going to go home and you're going to sit and not do anything other than look back and reflect on your week and tell me what, you know, go through what you did wrong, what you did right, you know, let it go, celebrate the wins, accept the defeats, and then just let it go. Start from scratch. And in my head, I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you do that? I don't even understand. Why would you do that? You're here now. Look forward, you know? And so I tried it and it was really moving. It was like a really weird, it was one of the weirdest hours I've ever spent by myself. And that's saying a lot because you guys know who I am. But that it was really just the power of that reflection of being able to let go and just really give yourself grace and celebrate yourself in a lot of ways and just, you know, pump yourself up. Learning how to do all those things without the need of someone else needing to do it for you is skill that I did not know I was going to get from doing this experience. And since then, it's been the thing that I do every New Year, every birthday, every anniversary, anytime that there's like a major milestone of or marker of, you know, throughout the year that it happens. And man, is it just a really cool way to, I don't know, reset and restart and just learn and look back, not make the same mistakes. So to me, that's what it is. That's how I do it. And that's what it means to me. But that's why I love this topic when you brought it up, I think, Lee. So that's my piece. Goodbye, everyone.
Good night.
You can stay.
Yeah, well, there he goes. And then there were four. So you do a summary reflection of the year, and that's sort of a tradition of yours based on your experience at Southwestern. You sort of expanded it. Is that just an annual thing that's kind of a, you write, reflect, you play soft music, you enter a Zen state, or what do you do it weekly? What, or is this?
Oh yeah, good question. I mean, I do it all the time, really. I'm not one of those people that's like, I do it every day before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Or some people are like that. No, it just, whenever I think of like seasons of life that are changing, sometimes, you know, there's not like a specific day, but you're like, this is definitely a season of my life that is changing and it's going to be new going forward. Things are not going to be the same. It could be like you got a puppy or you had a child like Metcher here recently, or I got married. We bought a house, right? Things change in your life like that. You just kind of take time to say goodbye in a way. I think that's huge. But then I also do it during like important dates. So the day I moved to the United States was July 13th. So every July 13th, I call my mom, I call my dad, I call my dad and my brother, and I go, hey, here's 24 years, right? And that'll be this year. And so like you just reflect and you think, well, wow, look how far we've come. Look what we've done and look where we're going. And I do those. I do look where I came from and where are we going? Yeah.
Okay. So that's a review.
Yeah.
Which is part of your reflection. Do you,
at
some point during our little cast here, I want to talk about questions that are like reflection questions, because I think those are questions generate answers and responses. So there is the just sitting back on a beach and, you know, having a Mai Tai and watching the waves and thinking about your life. And then there's specific things you can ask your brain that generate answers. So at some point we should talk about that. But yeah, that's good. So you do it often, continuously, but certainly annually.
Yeah, certainly annually.
Okay.
I would say the most important one is definitely the one at the beginning of the year. And since I've been married, the one for my anniversary with my wife, when we sit down together and it's like, all right,
yeah,
what did we learn?
Lee, I have a question that I think will help other people.
Go.
You're a very thoughtful person, and it surprises me that you don't feel like you are good at reflection or that you don't do it as much as you want. So I'm just curious, what have you tried that hasn't worked? Like, what do you think the barrier is for you? Because I'm guessing other people probably have similar.
Well, the barrier for me, I think we have to go back every time we do a topic like this, we have to define what we're talking about. I mean, there's mindfulness. And I think I'm becoming more mindful and thoughtful and prayerful as I get older, because that's the direction, you know, I'm just old. So you start thinking about stuff like that. And then there's reflection, which is sort of like taking stock or inventory of what has occurred to date and then evaluating it. Like, what am I doing? And this gets to questions. What am I doing that serves other people well?
And are you saying that you don't feel like you do reflection, or you don't feel like you do it as well as you'd like, or?
I feel like I probably need to spend dedicated time or put it in my calendar, because I mean, like when I hang up, I'll probably sit down and start reading one of several books over there again, and it'll make me think of things. But to sit down and take inventory, take stock, I take that back. I just did a reflection on the diaconate at our church that I run. I'm the chair of the deacons and deaconesses. And so what I'm going to start next week's meeting about in 2024 is a reflection of 2023. Where have we been? What have we accomplished? What are our victories? Just because otherwise it just blends one week to month to year to the next. So that was a conscious effort, because I was in charge of 30 other people. And I want to make sure that we notice when we're accomplishing things. So that was a time, to answer your question, that I said, you know what, I need to approach this way. And I was purposeful about it, rather than just sort of randomly, here, I'm having a cup of tea. I think I'll be reflect-like. So yeah, what's hard, what's difficult for me is I'm not geared to sit and just think back. I just was like, what's next? What's next? Action. Where can I get attention? You know, when I was 20, I had a different attitude toward this whole topic than I do when I'm 60, whatever. So
It kind of looks like Will is dying to say a whole bunch of stuff.
Will, I agree.
I was just thinking about just how great it'll be when I'm old and I can get off a meeting and just go read a book, like you said. Like, I'm just gonna go read. I'm like, that sounds amazing.
I mean, when you have a larger age, old is,
dude, fun. Do you understand that you could actually design your life to work that way now? Just throwing it out there.
And I'm following Lee too, because I got his book that he recommended like months ago. So again, you're right.
But he's not going to have time to read it. So
that's true. I'm just going to stare at it, really. And like,
it's a minty cover.
It's true. Yeah.
It matches Pat's sweatshirt.
And Andreas's hat. And the volume libraries in Lee's office.
Tangent, official tangent. So I would say, Andres, you're more inclined to make time for reflection than I am. Is that right?
Yeah.
Does anybody else wrestle with dedicating time to purposefully sitting down and doing the reflection exercise, however long or short that is?
Whoa. Yes.
What about you,
Will? Now that we've killed Will's feed entirely, I'll answer while he comes back online.
I'm still here. All right. We're good.
We can hear him, but you can't see him now.
It's Ghost Will. This will be what it's like after he gets really old and dies. Let's just be around.
Oh, we can reflect off of his ghost body.
Oh, he's back. Okay, good. Will, say stuff.
There we go. Do you want me to comment on this? Because I have a lot. I have a whole bunch of questions. Because
I think the reflecting... 5 times I said, hey, Will, you should talk, that might have been a hint.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
Where's your cue? Go ahead.
You're teeing me up. I love reflecting, and I don't think I do it enough. I think I'm better at encouraging others to reflect and the importance of going through and actually answering questions. And so I was proud of myself this year because I actually took the time to go through and spend time reflecting and going through questions, Lee, like you had mentioned. Because I think so often we're so good at, okay, it's a new year, like new year, new me. I'm going to come up with all these new goals. Well, the reason that you missed the goals previously is because there was something that was getting in your way that when you don't reflect, you don't take the time to actually think about what it is that caused you to not be able to hit it previously. And so in order to know where you're going, you have to be able to look in the rearview mirror to see, where did I screw up? And what am I going to do differently going into the future so I make sure that I don't do that again? I don't repeat myself, because we're habitual by nature. And so we're going to continue to do the things, even if it's stupid, that we've always done. So the best time to be able to stop that is by reflecting and taking that time to go through, answer questions, sit with yourself, you know, do a Zen-like thing like Andres. But I love it. I think it's really powerful. And I do have questions if you want to
go ahead.
Reflect on those.
You're doing some teasing here. Go ahead. Share.
So I'm sure there's some like ninja Alicia Huck questions that she's going to whip out that are going to blow everybody's mind. But, you know, the simple ones are, you know, where did you succeed? What did you enjoy most? Where did you fail? And I've shifted it. I don't remember where I pulled these questions originally, but one of the questions was, what regrets do you have? I've changed it to, what were your missed opportunities? Some people like looking at actual regrets. One of my favorites is, what lessons did you learn? And then kind of forward momentum, what will you do differently? What do you need to do more of? What do you need to stop doing? And then bonus question is, how can you expose more of what you enjoyed most?
Well, say that again.
How can you expose? So one of the questions is, what did you enjoy most? Like, how can you expose more of what you enjoyed most? Like, what can you do to create more of that into the new year?
Okay.
That's good. Write that down.
That's a good question.
So like one of mine was trainings. Like, I enjoyed doing, you know, trainings in 2023. You know, one of my opportunities is to bring out more trainings and be more aware of those trainings. And so I have a list of those to go through frequently to make sure that I'm staying on top of that.
Good.
That's sick.
Well, so now I read, one leader I was reading said, he wasn't interested in reflecting on failure because when he thought of failure, he felt embarrassment and regret. And those were stoppers for him to reflection.
Oh, wow.
Like, regret closes your mind to reflect. What?
Well, when you heard that or read that, how did you process that, Lee?
Well, when you heard what that dude said. Yeah, I said, I think there's a delicate balance. I think you need to pay attention. Like, lack of reflection leads to repetition. So you repeat failure when you don't learn from failure. But if you indulge in your reflection exercise on your shortcomings and failures, you know, as we learned from previous experiences, you don't get what you want, you get what you picture. So if you're constantly in your reflection mode, picturing, reflect your failures, I think that's what he was saying. Felt embarrassment and regret.
It seems to me like there's more of a character issue going on with that person, because if he grew up in a household where failure was not an acceptable outcome and it's a real shame-based kind of thing, that is probably what's showing up there. And you know, I think he probably, that particular leader, has an option to either recognize that and work through that, or if that person doesn't have resources or guidance to be able to do that, then I can understand why they would want to avoid it. But overall, I think it serves all of us well to be able to reflect, and you know, as long as we can keep things in perspective, you know, for example, there's things that if I reflect on them, make me embarrassed of my behavior or make me ashamed of, man, I really let that person down. That really injured somebody else. That actually is worth feeling bad about. True. But just to end it there is an incomplete thought. It's, and how have I grown and improved to avoid injuring other people in that same way? Is the completion of that. And that's actually where reflection on failures seems to be like a helpful tool for any of us.
True. That's good.
And agreed. And I would throw in, I think sometimes we get too moralistic about it. Like, if I learn from my failure, I won't repeat it. There is dumb stuff that I've been doing for 30 years, and I'm super clear that it's dumb stuff, and I'm still doing it at some level, at some, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that it's always black and white. Like, I learned the lesson and now I can stop doing the stupid thing I sometimes do. No, I'm still yelling at people in traffic, right? My victory is I stopped yelling at them in person, mostly, right? But I think we give each other a little more space, but I've kind of been in a position in the past where I relate to reflecting on what I didn't do well. I think that's just a limited well to draw from. Like, I think you want to dip in like a cup, but you don't want to go back to it every single day. I don't think it's useful, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're, and this is a whole different conversation for a different podcast probably, but like the thing that people do where we try to be good at all the things, instead of figuring out, no, these are the things that I'm good at. Like, I read this book once and the analogy was all the little animals in the forest go to little animal school and the poor bunny is terrible at tree climbing. He's terrible at swimming. He almost dies, right? He goes home. His parents are like, the teachers are like, he's great at running. He's great at jumping, but he's terrible at tree climbing and swimming. So we're going to put him in remedial swimming until he catches up, right? Like, no, maybe he just shouldn't be swimming, right? Like, I think it's a limited well to draw from, and it's better to focus on what you can build on and really see huge progress with.
That's a healthier. I think I read that book too. That's good.
It's a memorable analogy.
I'd like to sit in on Bunny School, see what that's all about. It sounds so adorable.
If you go to Peru, they do ayahuasca there. You could totally do that.
Be one with the bunnies.
One thing to think about is that helped me, since I didn't naturally sit down and get out a piece of paper and wistfully look to the skies and ask questions of myself, is to seek out, like, ask for constructive feedback regularly and as part of a reflection exercise. So I remember one time I went to, and you have to seek out people that you know and you trust, and that you know, the person sharing feedback on you, you have to be careful about who you're taking it from. But we all have blind spots in our thinking patterns. And I knew that I did. In my own little world, I think, hey, I've got it together and I'm doing everything right and I'm winning and all that stuff. So I would seek out people. I remember going to Wanda Dickens at Southwestern, VP of admin. Her office was down the hall, and I asked for constructive feedback that would cut through any of my self-deceit or any of my one-dimensional views that I might hold about myself. It was brutal. I mean, I went to her because I knew she would be honest, because some people you go to and they're like, oh, you're great, you're so blah, blah, blah.
Don't change.
Yeah,
you're awesome how you are.
I mean, she politely just ripped me a new one. I remember she said, you know, Lee, one of your strengths is your mouth. And I'm like, what? And she said, and one of your huge weaknesses is your mouth. And you don't have a filter. And you need a filter here to work in a corporate setting. And I'm like, oh, that was during my corporate anarchist days. And my business card. But she just told me, you know, you need to grow up and mature and think before you speak, and don't, you know, your way is not always the right way just because you're semi-creative. But anyway, so that was I still remember that conversation, because all of us have these blind spots, these scotomas, and people that understand you, that respect you, and tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, is really good. So that might be a part of a reflection exercise too, is to find somebody you know and trust and say, hey, I want you to tell me, you know, make suggestions. What could I do differently? What do I need to work on as a person?
If you've read the Netflix book, there's an exercise they have in there that I've seen people use, which would work really well for that, Lee. It's called start, stop, continue. So you have people think about what they think you should start doing, what you should stop doing, and what you should continue doing. And it's a nice, gives them a good framework.
Is that, that it? Will
never work. Is he- no, that's not the net. The Netflix book I mean is.
I think he was trying to send you a message about your idea.
Oh no! I have this Netflix book.
Netflix book is about No Rules Rules is the one I'm talking about. But what's that one?
It's like the story of how they built Netflix.
I have a question from
Alicia. That's
all right. Stop.
I love that. And just as a continuation, Alicia, like with some of the companies that you work with, because I think sometimes the idea of reflecting is just, it's become such a, we need to do this to check off the box at the end of the year. I have some clients that work in large corporations and they'll do like their annual review and it's like, I got to fill this out. And it's not really fully like looked at and like, you know, it is there an alternate way of doing that to where it is effective? Yes, that's directed towards you.
But you got to unmute before we can really appreciate.
She's unmuted. Oh, where'd you go? Wow.
Oh, no. No, no. Can't. There's just no audio. She's sharing gold and we can't hear it. Oh, my man. God.
I was so excited. No.
Use sign language.
Oh. It'd have been a good podcast.
Okay. And then do it for how long? Oh, she's
okay. Well, she goes. She left. We'll invite her back in a minute.
Now, in that vein, so this won't steal her thunder, but maybe just buy us some time as we put a little color into it. I do think that one of the benefits of working in and on a business is that we've come up with this arbitrary concept of a 12-month, you know, evaluation of a marker, right? So it does, like, what I'm, as I'm planning my kickoff meeting here for January, as the president of the company, I'm also looking back over the last year and kind of going, what are we doing right? You know, what could we do better at? How could we tweak our training to kind of, you know, accentuate and develop, you know, both sides of that? But what I also find myself doing is, as a growing person, to use that annual marker to go, well, how do I want to grow in this next year? Like, what are some things that I would like to develop and grow as a person? And I'm going to use this, you know, arbitrary calendar to go, well, this is how the next 12 months I'm going to do these things because I want that in my life. And what's really good about that thought process is some of the things that naturally come up, like, oh man, I want to get my business to, you know, this, you know, new, you know, ridiculously scary, you know, goal and really break all belief barriers and things like that. That's a natural thing to do when you come out of our background. But sometimes you have to stop and go, well, wait, why do I want that? Exactly. Why am I telling myself I want that? What's behind that? And is what's behind that actually the kind of person I'm trying to become? And that's not to say that those things can't go together. Just sometimes they don't. You know, like I'll start to think about, you know, man, it'd be awesome to make $1 million this year. And then it's like, well, where's that coming from? Is that actually healthy? Or is that maybe fear that's pushing some of that? Or, you know, what is that? Is that greed? What's really there? And then I can go back to, you won't be able to read this because of the lighting, but I can go back to my core values that sits on my desk right in front of me to be able to go, is that really about growth, humility, curiosity, truth seeking, or love? Maybe I need to rethink how am I trying to grow this next year and make sure that they're in line with that. So looking back can actually help us go. It can be kind of like a line on the horizon, you know, that we can use looking backwards and looking forwards to kind of go, am I keeping true north with what I think I'm ultimately about? But that brings us back to Alicia.
Where's the bell? Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I was just killing time until you got back in.
There we go.
Yeah,
I can hear you now.
We could tell that was just filler. Thanks, Pat. No, that's really good because a lot of the topics we cover, I'm like, okay, we're up here on this surface. We're on the epidermis. And I'm going to go down into like, okay, let's peel that back, Pat. Why do you want to make $1 million? That is a much more important question for people to wrestle with. So thank you.
Pat is very good at reflection. Like, I feel like Pat, in the time that we've been friends, you have lots of different structures in your life that help you reflect on where you are and how you're growing. And I think that's huge and really important. Sorry for dropping out, you guys. So the Netflix book, The Stop, Start, Continue, is really good. And you have to prepare a group. If you're doing it in a group setting, you have to prepare that group for that conversation because it's deep and it's vulnerable and people will share things that are hard to hear. So you really have to, one of the things I like about that book is they have a lot of conversations about candor and how do you build a culture of candor where you can give that feedback. But bigger picture, so I'll just talk about two things. There's the stuff that I do to reflect personally, and then the single best tool I've ever found for reflection in my entire life that I think is the most ninja thing maybe I've ever encountered. And of course, I didn't invent it, but I'll tell you who to give credit to. So personally, my birthday's in July, and then of course you have the end of the year and at the end of December. So I feel like I have, you know, two good regular markers every year when I'm going to do some of the stuff that Pat and Andres are talking about, where like I'm going on a retreat with my business coach next week. So before I do that, I'll sit down and I'll go through the major events of each month of the past year. And part of the reason I do that is it's not because I need to review them or learn from them. It's because that was my life. Like that's my life. You're living it right now. And I feel like sometimes it goes by so fast, you miss it, right? A little Ferris Bueller-esque philosophy on the world. So I like to go back through and look at, well, what happened last year in January? And what was that like for me? And what was I focused on? What was I thinking about? So when I do my year-end review, I'll go through each month, I'll look at the major events. And then I actually have started doing a lot of times this tool that my friend invented. So my friend Whitney Walpole, who's a brilliant consultant, she has a tool called Wins, Losses, Lessons Learned. And if you're trying to get a group to reflect, it's the single most amazing thing I've ever seen. So simple. What you do is you just say, we're either going to do wins or losses first. Doesn't matter which one, but we're going to do one category at a time. And what felt like a win to you? So if you're on a team of people, something that felt like a win to me might not be defined as a win to Lee. But it doesn't matter. And it might actually fit in both categories. It might be a win and a loss, right? Like I doubled my income, but I really pissed off my family. Might be a win and a loss there. So what I'll do is go through and look for the things that were wins and losses all the way through the year. And then what did I learn from that? What do I want to take forward from that? And when you do that, so I do that work with clients. I have leaders do it with their teams because Whitney said something to me in one of her seminars years ago that I thought was really insightful, which is we all have either played sports or watched sports. And how weird would it be if, let's say, in the NFL, they just played game after game after game with practices in between, if they had no scoreboard, no timeouts, no off season, no reflection, no practices. They just played the whole thing with no scoreboard and no breaks. Start to finish. And then you get to the end of the year and you just start a new year. And I feel like to Will's point, what a lot of people do is you just pile on, right? So it doesn't matter if like your soul is kind of crushed by the client engagement that didn't go well last year, you just move on to the next set of stuff, except you don't. when you complete something, you actually put it behind you. You're done with it. You don't have to think about it anymore because you learned what you could learn. You took what you could take. It's kind of a landmark education thing for those of you who did that. So I really like to have people sit down and think about that stuff. And I love wins and losses because it challenges people. Most of the people that I work with are super high achievers. So they typically don't take time to grieve and they don't take time to celebrate. If you actually take time with your team to grieve and to celebrate when it's appropriate, you'll be shocked at how much better everything gets and how fast it gets better. And so I think that exercise gives people that opportunity. And the other thing I would highlight is, you know, I've seen companies where they work on a project like an engineering firm for 2 years with some nightmare client, and it's literally taking chunks of people's soul with it as it exits, and they just hit send and move on. That's insane. Like, you need to take a minute and go, hang on. And if things are going poorly, like in hospitals, they do postmortems, right? Like they actually sit down and they debrief what happened there. So I think self-reflection is a really powerful thing to do if you, and I think you have to figure out a way to do it that works for you. Like Lee, it sounds to me like you're always really reliable if what you're doing has is of service to other people, like that's sort of natural for you. If you just had three people in your life that you did your work so you could have a conversation with them and be an accountability reason that they did theirs, like that would get really easy. So I would also just say, find what works for you and is a natural opening instead of trying to do the thing that somebody else does that sounds like a good idea, but doesn't actually fit your life or what you want. But for me, those periods of reflection, what they usually lead to, and this is the last thing that I'll highlight, is I usually have a theme. Like to Lee's point, there are major milestones in your year. So I like to have a theme or a word or a phrase that I that kind of encapsulates what I want to focus on, what I think is going to help me live my best life and be very productive. Like 1 year, my phrase was do the work. Because what I wanted to focus on was just sometimes what makes a difference is just to do the boring, stupid, repetitive stuff that will get you where you want to go. Like, don't worry about your goals. Don't worry about where you are. Just focus on doing the work. If you just do the work, everything's going to be fine. And so sometimes they're inspiring. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they have specific numbers. Sometimes they don't. But I think do it the way that works for you, that gives you more of what it actually is that matters to you. And reflection starts to become easy and natural.
Can That's I ask good. What your theme is for this year? Have you come up with that? Or is that going to be on your little retreat?
No, it actually sort of popped up naturally as the end of the year came about. And some of you will laugh at this, but it's honestly, it's be loud. And not like, which I know is surprising because I pretty loud, right?
Easy.
But what I've noticed about myself is that there are ways that I suppress my own, like you know, I will sometimes not wear bold colors, which is a silly example. And some of that is just growing up in a household where there wasn't a lot of room. You know, there weren't people who were healthy and like could deal with their life circumstances and a really high energy, tiny human. And some of you know, I didn't have the happiest or easiest of childhoods, but some of that was actually, you know, pretty, there was some abuse and some neglect, like there were things, right? And as an adult, I've noticed there are some places where it's really easy for me to speak, right? Especially if it's in service to someone else. But there are all these other places where in my intimate relationships, I don't ask for what I want. I don't share what doesn't work. I don't ask for what does work, right? There's things that I want to say or communicate that I'm scared to. There are ways that I want to express myself in the world that I continually will sort of push down and suppress. So this is my year to just look at what would it be like if I said the thing that would make the difference, right? If I actually asked people that care about me for what I want or let them know that something doesn't work. What if I wore the thing that I wouldn't have worn? Because for a long time, I just wore all black and kept it very toned down. So like, you know, now there's more color. And I know that sounds, may not make sense to a lot of other people, but for me, it's actually pretty scary sometimes. And it's like an invitation to not suppress myself and just see how that goes. And also just taking up space, right? Like it's okay if I make a mistake while I'm busy being loud. I can make that right. I can do repair work. So it's kind of a personal and professional thing. And also just about getting loud professionally, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. So
good. Andre, so you wanted to. You're...
Yeah, I'm reflecting on this conversation. So, like, for real. So I think the theme that I'm noticing here that's, I think, subliminal to take it, like, into a deeper level, Lee, since you like to go one more level deep.
Ooh, let's go
another
deeper.
Layer deep, deeper.
I think that the reason, I mean, we've already made a case for why reflection is important. So, you know, but I think what ultimately the goal is, I think underneath it all, where the common thread that I'm seeing here is you kind of like when you look at an actual mirror and you see an actual reflection of yourself, is you get to know yourself better. You get to know, you like, know thyself, I think is my one of my values or mantras in my life, because I think everything we've talked about, goals and why to set those specific goals, like Pat said, why $1 million, right? Or something like Alicia said, like, I've noticed this about myself, that I'm not loud, or that I want to be more loud in these aspects, or the things that Will was asking. Those are all questions that are ultimately getting to know you. You're spending time with you, like interviewing yourself, asking questions like, hey, what went well? I mean, it sounds like all the questions we would ask or talked about that we look back and things we do are questions I ask people on the podcast. How did you get here? How do you like it? What have you learned? Where are you going with it? What can you tell us about this specifically, right? But you're asking yourself those questions. And I think a person that knows themselves well knows exactly where they're going, knows exactly where they've been, knows exactly why they set the goals they set, and knows what they need to work on or what parts of themselves they need to show more to the world, because they're discovering that about themselves, as Alicia has done with color, wearing colors and being loud, right? So I think ultimately, if your goal in reflecting, or I think the goal in your reflection should be just to know yourself better. And the best way to get to know yourself is to look at your actions and things that you've done. And the best way to look at that is last year, last month, this week, this conversation, and say, okay, what, again, go back to those same questions. But I think what I'm seeing here is just the journey to knowing yourself starts at reflecting, because the reason that you know that you have a freckle on your left cheek is because you've seen it, right? Because you saw it on the reflection, you see it every day in the mirror. In the same way that you start knowing your face and you start knowing your body by looking at it, you do that with your mind and your emotions. And I think that that's just as important as looking in the mirror every day, literal or you know, metaphorically.
Yeah.
So that takes me to that men in the mirror Mark Rao thing that he does.
Will, do you have a theme for this year? Do you have a goal? Do you have what's yours for this year?
Anybody centered. Else do that? Yeah. For me, it's being centered. I think there's been a lot of, obviously having a child disrupts parts of your life. Just like dogs on couches disrupt
just parts of your though. Life too. Just parts yeah, of just your life. Some of them are undisrupted.
Small parts. But it's just getting back to being centered, you know? And I think, my wife and I, we did some self-reflection as a unit together. And I think, you know, for me, being centered is, from a standpoint of, you know, it's a professional side of things. It's also a personal side of things. And being centered for both of us means being intentional and knowing where we're at. I think we, as a couple, we've done really good at, you know, like, we'll talk a big talk like, hey, we should like not have cell phones in bed, or we'll have all these like fun ideas, but then they don't happen. And it's because we don't keep that stuff in front of us. You know, it's just very simple from a goal setting standpoint, but it's being centered with what's important, not what is loud at the time. And it kind of goes back to, there was a lesson. One of my biggest lessons for this past year was all human behavior is goal driven. All of it. Like if we're sitting, you know, and we're in a meeting and I'd rather pull out my phone and look at Instagram, like my goal is I need some dopamine right now, you know? So understanding and recognizing like where that's coming from, I think just being centered is going back to what's truly important for us. And, you know, again, for business, what's truly important for me. So I'm excited for that.
That's all good. I would just say for my contribution to this call, that you have to seek feedback from others. I mean, I remember it was in the 1 Minute Manager. It said, feedback is the breakfast of champions. And you can't get that just sitting by yourself on a beach. I get feedback from other people and how I impact them or not. So you've got to seek that out. And one thing, when you were talking about, Alicia, it made me think, this is just one notch down. We always grade ourselves internally by our intentions. Like, this is what I meant, but we judge other people by their actions. So we're, and I'm including myself as a member of the human race, we're
write that down.
Biased. Well, we're biased towards excusing our behavior. So I'm right in most situations, probably all, but you know, in my own little world, that's my bias. So because I have a good intent behind it. So anyway, we look at other people and how they act.
For sure. I love that, Lee. And I would throw in, is it dead again? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I have a couple of friends who have one of the most enviable marriages that I've ever been around. And every year on their anniversary, they have like 10 questions that they ask each other. And it's stuff like, you know, they basically are renewing their marriage every single year. Like, what is it? Who do you want to be? Who do you feel like you are now that you maybe weren't a year ago? What do you want? What do you need? How can I support you? And am I willing to commit to that? And so for me, it always just comes back to intentionality. Like, I just don't think nothing great happens by accident. Like, it just doesn't. So if you're not, I just think intentionality is the thing that wins the game. Knowing what you want and having some plan about how to get there is such a huge part of the battle. And I think it's really tough for people to always take the time to sit down and do that big picture thinking. And I also think part of the reason for that is that we make it hard because people think they've got to do it a particular way that may not work for them. But whatever it is that you do, even if you just take a drive with yourself or you get together with other people, or like, you know, Lee was saying, you need other people to reflect back to you. That's why I have my own coach and other people that are committed to pouring into me. But I think probably my big thing for this call would be, if reflection isn't inviting to you, if that feels burdensome, if it's not actually sexy to you to sit down and do that kind of thinking and then move to the future, you're probably just doing it wrong. Like, do it a different way, because inherently that should be something really exciting. If you've been dealing with terrible stuff, you're going to realize that you got through it. You're surviving, even if it's not over. If you've done great, you're going to get to celebrate that. And maybe you're not good at celebrating what you've done well, but if it's not working for you, you're probably doing it wrong. So try something else.
And I'll hitchhike right on.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Just to hitchhike on the end of what Alicia was just saying, if it feels wrong, right? If somebody's like, I hate this or whatever, because of the example, Lee, that you brought up earlier about the guy who's like, I can't face my failures, mm-hmm. you know, it's all like too ugly and too shameful and blah, blah, blah. If that's where somebody's at, maybe that's the thing that they need to get help with, is to go, hey, you know, what if you didn't have to look back and always be ashamed? What if there was a way that you could go, hey, somebody help me with this. Whenever I look back, I feel ashamed and embarrassed and I beat myself up and I always have to look forward. I can never look back. If that's where somebody's at, they should internalize and go, man, is there a way to get help with that? That's my reflection, non-reflection guide for help.
Also, I bet Will Metcher is a really good person to ask for help for on that. Just FYI.
Ask Will.
Yeah. And I would say this, just again, this is a thought that I think is powerful and I repeat it often, but you can get into a lot of trouble if you compare your insides with other people's outsides.
He's just all dropping of us, quotes.
In words too. I'm like, I've never heard that word ever. Let me look it up.
Well,
we should have like a Lee tracker where it's like, let's define that word.
Go look that up. That's a good
scotoma word.
Yeah, that one was new for even me.
Just go to the eye doctor. They'll tell you if you have a scotoma.
That's right. Well, I went to my proctologist. He goes, you got a serious scotoma and we need to take that out.
What was the actual knowledge?
Sorry.
What was the quote that you just gave that was really good that we just derailed? Yeah.
So this is for real. And you could think about this. Our biggest struggle in life, I think, is when we take too much time comparing our insides with other people's outsides. So in other words, I know all the crap I deal with internally, and all of us are wrestling with our dark side, our shadow side. But the fact is, if all we see of other people is what they show on the outside, their externals. So, you know, I always use this because people would ask me, you know, what's it like working with Dan Moore? I mean, he's so man, he's just Dan. I'm like, no, Dan is screwed up. Dan has got major problems because he's a human. We're all messed up. We're broken. So I don't worry about comparing myself to Dan Moore when I worked with him, because that was fruitless. I had my own issues to deal with. So understanding insides and outsides, I think that's a powerful thing to remember. Even when we look up to people, we put them on.
I've developed the habit of assuming that all successful people are actually screwed up.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, my take is the more high achieving you are, the more likely it is that's coming from coping mechanisms in an unhealthy place. And it's just getting tighter and crunchier the higher you go.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason why people, God, it's just so good to have a coach. And in my case, a therapist. Like, I need a whole team of people. Cause you,
Michael Jackson.
Maybe for another day, that's a topic, but the stuff that gets you to a pretty high level is the stuff that will keep you from getting to the next level after that.
That is the next topic for the next episode.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Why would we ever go there? You guys, can I just make a request? Like, we don't ever need to go there of all
Well, you just said Michael Jackson.
Andre said Michael Jackson.
I said Michael
Alicia
Jackson.
Alicia was having a whole different conversation.
I'm just saying he was famous because his dad beat him when he was a kid. People like, you're right. I was just giving an example of someone who's like, that. This is a person who achieved greatness in whatever they were doing. And you look at their life and you're like, you were broken. Like, the whole time you've been broken. And it happens. I don't know about Jeffrey Epstein's childhood. I'm just saying, specifically for Michael Jackson, when you said that, that's what I thought of. I'm like, that's a person right there who it was knowing that his dad beat him.
And he
beat him to greatness.
Perhaps more useful for people who are on this call is to say, if the voice in your head is kind of mean, right? If you achieve something and it's not ever good enough, right? If whatever you do, you're always worried, you're like, it's just tight and tense all the time. And especially, right, you just finish a year and no matter how good or bad it was, you're just on to the next thing. If you're not having a lot of fun, if there's not a lot of joy in how you're operating, I think it's not just results, it's experience that you have producing the results and those results. And if they're both not good, then you have an opportunity to do something else. And it would probably be real smart to get help and start poking around there and finding a way to have it be more fun and better results both.
The voice in your head should be a warm and accurate judge.
We learned that this week, Pat.
We did.
It was really cool, EQ for exec classes. And I was like, oh, warm and accurate judge. That's such a great framework as opposed to nasty, vicious bully that yells at you about accountability.
Was that with Jules? Yes. Oh, I love it. Say that again.
The voice in your head should be a warm and accurate judge.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
Somebody in Southwestern, I don't know, was it you, Lee? Or was I reading this somewhere? It was like, if the person inside your head was sitting next to you, would you punch them or hug them? And I'm like, oh God, I would strangle him. I need to, you know. And then my goal is the voice inside my head, if he was sitting next to me, I'd be like, let's go get a beer. Cause that's better. You don't always have to hug yourself. You know, it's like, let's go talk about life and get a beer.
Yeah.
Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul, he talks about the voice in your head and how it's often wrong. It gives you terrible advice. It gives you contradictory advice. It has no real world experience. And it always wants something usually that's at odds with whatever's in your best interest. He's like, why do you listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Now we're getting some levels.
That's a great mic drop for
for the next one.
For the next all right. one.
Stay tuned for the next episode where we talk about why people who had rough upbringings were more likely to succeed. Or whatever thought that was.
Like, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. We're going to do a full breakdown.
Harvey Washington.
No, we're definitely not. Jesus, you guys.
Till next time.
Let's talk about other people we don't really know.
Pat has derailed us officially.
All right.
There we go. Outro.
Goodbye, everyone.